morning, everybody. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Hope you had a good weekend, and I'm glad you're with us this morning. As Republicans begin their convention in Cleveland and the official rollout of the Trump-Pence ticket, what are the implications of that ticket for down-ballot races here in Maryland and across the country? For months now, observers have described the brutal primary process as a battle for the soul of the Republican Party. Well, has that battle been won by Donald Trump? And how will Trump use the spotlight this week to launch his race against Hillary Clinton? We will address these and other questions on all three of our shows this week. On Friday, the morning after the convention ends, we'll get analysis from Richard Cross, who's working as a speechwriter at the convention, Chris Kafalas, who's a Republican candidate in the U.S. Senate primary race that was eventually won by Delegate Kathy Shalega, and Adar Ayira of the Associated Black Charities and Baltimore Racial Justice Action. And on Wednesday, we'll be joined by Jenna Johnson, who has been covering the Trump campaign since last September for the Washington Post. And this morning, my guest is Liz Copeland, who is the president and founder of the Urban Conservative Project. Last April, she was a candidate in the Republican primary for the 1st District Baltimore City Council seat. She was part of a crowded field who lost to Matthew McDaniel, and he will face Democrat Zeke Cohen in November. Liz Copeland, it's a delight to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me on.
So many Maryland Republicans are not Trump supporters, and I take it that you're one of those. Trump won the primary here by 54%. His closest challenger was John Kasich, who got half that amount of the vote. I wonder, do you think that the Maryland Republican leadership is out of step with Republican voters here in Maryland, at least?
I know this is not what you want to hear, but I have no idea. And I'm not quite sure that anyone within or outside of the party really have a full understanding of what is happening. It's such an anomaly. In Maryland, like you said, Trump won 54%, but that was one of the largest percentage of the whole that he got in any of the states. On average, he didn't get more than 36, 34% of the vote in any other states prior to Maryland. I think in Maryland, what you saw is many people getting behind a winner. They saw that Donald Trump was out in the head. Kasich was not pulling up. He wasn't bringing up any steam. Rubio had dropped out. Bush had dropped out. Carson had dropped out. Maryland was a strong Carson state. And many of the Republicans decided that, you know, this is the guy who's going to win. Let me get in and support him. As far as the party is concerned, I think oftentimes people are surprised at how the Republican Party isn't as hierarchical as possibly the Democratic Party. It's really a bottom up. You know, the leaders follow the frontline activists, the frontline troops, and what they want.
It seems that there's a lot of the Trump platform, the little we know of it, because he's been a little unspecific on a lot of
issues. As in nothing. We have no idea other than build a wall and make us great.
Yeah. But for example, he's anti-trade, and the Republican Party is traditionally a free trade party. He wants to keep Social Security and Medicare mostly as they are. As far as we know, others are, you know, very much in favor of revising and realigning entitlements. He's talked about America's role in the world in a way that's in opposition to certainly the Bush administration and other Republican leaders like Senator McCain. There's a lot that doesn't line up with the sort of quote-unquote traditional Republican platform. How do you reckon that? What do you think that's going to mean for this convention and for this campaign?
I think it's a reflection of what the party leaders on a national level, they made a mistake in doing. They didn't realize that many of middle America, middle class, white men and women who were either middle class or working class, and after the recession, they saw the Republican Party still talking about the establishment issues. They were talking about how we were to support free enterprise, but also support the job creators, which really means tax breaks for those of the top tier. They saw their manufacturing jobs being closed down and them being outsourced to other countries, and no one was listening. And so this is a reaction to what I believe many in our party realized, that our government wasn't working for us. The Republican Party still talked about how we were going to close, or we should change the way Medicare is operated. But, you know, that's not an issue that's supported by many working class within the party. They want Medicare. They want that entitlement. So reducing entitlements, strengthening trade the way it is written, and having our foreign policy as written now, it's not something that people who grew up in this country feel was the right direction to go, because they felt that, one, they lost their jobs, they lost their money, and there was a decrease in pride, and they were upset. And I can't be, I can understand that. I can understand that completely.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. My guest this morning, Liz Copeland. She's the president and founder of the Urban Conservative Project. It used to be that folks talked about conservative Republicans, moderate Republicans, but for a while, conservative and Republican were kind of equivalent terms. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's still the case?
No, I don't. As an urban conservative, I would be what most people consider right of center. I'm a moderate Republican, a Rockefeller Republican. I believe that our social issues are decided law. I support marriage equality. I support a woman's right to choose what to do with her body. And anyone who calls himself a conservative and believes in upholding individual rights and liberties should have the same position. Period. And there are many still within the Republican Party who agree with me, but we are a minority, and it's time for the minority to push back on far, far right political ideology, and to stand up to the establishment that has accepted individuals like Donald Trump to come in with such statements of bigotry, xenophobia, and say that that's not what our party is about. And if we don't do it, then someone else will continue to define conservatism.
Is the time to make those statements and to do that step up now?
Absolutely.
Right before he's going to be nominated as the Republican standard bearer?
So,
or is it too late?
This is, of course, a reactionary proposal. It is too late. Donald Trump is the Republican nominee for this election cycle. And there are many people who have given up on the presidential election. My theory is that you're going to see in these races, when you look at the election results, many people either not show up to the polls, or you'll see more votes cast for the Senate and down ballot than for the president. And I think that's a reflection of how people just, as a Republican, I'm never Trumper, but I'm not with her. And I'll either write in someone or vote for Gary Johnson. I'm not at a point where I've been able to decide. And there's still a lot of people who don't know what to do. We really don't know what to do.
Mr. Trump has been called a racist demagogue by people in his own party.
Yes.
The Republican leadership has used that terminology, and Republican commentators, et cetera. Is there something that Mr. Trump can do this week to prove that he's as inclusive as he says he is?
Yeah, one would hope. You know, I am not a psychologist. I don't have a DSM-5. I think Mr. Trump is a narcissist. I think that he could, but he won't. You just look at how he unveiled his vice presidential pick, and he spent 40 minutes talking about how great he was. And it just was a misstep, and just very reflective of the individual that we have and the character of our nominee.
What do you think the implications, you talked about how a lot of folks, perhaps yourself included, may just skip the presidential race, but still be very involved and vote down ballot. How do you think this is going to affect, for example, the race that Kathy Shalega faces against Chris Van Hollen for the Senate seat being vacated by Barbara Mikulski?
For full disclosure, I am a supporter of Kathy Shalega. I think that she would be a wonderful asset to the Senate. I know this is a tough race for her, but I think she made the right step by not going to the convention. I think our governor made the right choice. And I think when we look back, we'll see that they're on the right side of history, that they did not align themselves with the statements and the behavior of our nominee. I think that her race is going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. Chris Van Hollen has a plethora of policy experience. He knows how to get things done. And it's still a 2-to-1 Democratic advantage in the state of Maryland. But Kathy Shalega has a story that resonates with a lot of Marylanders, Democrats included, just, you know, working hard, being there for the average Marylander, and I think that's going to help her.
Do you think it's going to hurt her that 54% of Republicans who voted in the primary voted for Mr. Trump? And if she's distancing herself from Donald Trump, is that going to, you know, is she going to lose her base?
It's possible. I don't think it's going to be detrimental to her campaign or the election outcome. I think that at the end of the day, she hasn't came out and spoken. She hasn't said what Liz says. I'm a never Trumper. And it's everywhere on social media. I'm clear with where I am with our Republican nominee. She hasn't done that. I think that's smart.
Folks have talked about how this is the year of the outsider. That, you know, people, the grassroots movement in the Republican Party is, in fact, what's taken over the Republican Party. I mean, you talk about the Urban Conservative Project as being a grassroots movement. There are folks who would point to the current situation as being grassroots, you know, upending the wishes of the party elite, the party leaders heretofore. Is this a year of the outsider? I mean, have the outsiders come up with the answers, you know, that they're simply, as it were, trumped the right. answers of the leadership.
What a great play on words. I don't believe they have. I think what they attempted to disrupt it. Well, I think they attempted to make some changes, but what they've accomplished is a disruption. And that's the beginning. The outsiders have clearly shown that there is dissatisfaction within the party. But it's not, you know, specific or just only within the Republican Party. You look at Bernie Sanders and his success. I mean, you have someone who was an independent, and caucus with the Democrats and considered himself a socialist. He pulled a party, their party, further to the left. I mean, you're seeing that pattern of behavior of people tired of the status quo and business as usual. As an urban conservative, I know most people believe that statement is reflective of minorities, black or brown people. But it's really about individuals living in the city and how urban conservatives are socially progressive but fiscally conservative and they want government to work. I think across the board, if you have activists who want to see the party return to its conservative values, Donald Trump is not conservative. He doesn't have conservative values. I think that you may see a realignment of both sides, even the Tea Partiers with urban conservatives and some of the Trump.
Well, it's been a delight to talk to you. Thank you so much, and I look forward to having you back.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Liz Copeland is the president and founder of the Urban Conservative Project. She was a candidate in the Republican primary for the first district Baltimore City Council seat last April. That race was won by Matthew McDaniel, who will face Democrat Zeke Cohen in November. Stay tuned to WYPR for complete coverage of both the Republican and Democratic conventions. It begins at 8 o'clock tonight here on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Coming up after a break for the news, a challenge for agencies who provide traditional housing. We'll learn about the work of Marion House and how shifting priorities are resulting in budget cuts for it and many other local organizations. Stay with us.